The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
For Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. There's a lot of meaning in that. He was submitting himself to David. He recognized that anointing too, by the way. Verse 5, whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. Favor surrounds you as you walk in obedience to the Lord, right? Everything David did, he was successful in. Verse 6, when the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. You know, Samuel had already told Saul that he wasn't going to be king. You know, Saul is such a conflicted character. The Spirit of God had left him. And when you get left by God, you're in trouble. Now, when you submit to God, you accept God into your heart, you truly confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. When you believe the salvation, the Holy Spirit comes inside you, he'll never leave you. But you can ignore him. And as we ignore him, that's when we get into all kinds of trouble, right? Because our flesh is yelling. And if we ignore the leading of the Spirit, we get into trouble. Well, in this time, it says the Spirit of God left Saul. Well, guess what he was left with? Not the Spirit of God. Some spirits, but they weren't the Spirit of God. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. When you have favor with people, or when you have favor, people will become jealous. Okay? They're going to be. They're going to call you lucky. How are you so lucky? You're just lucky. Lucky with all that stuff. No, we're not lucky. We're blessed. Amen. We have favor. And it surrounds us as a shield. That's what it says in Psalms 5. Favor surrounds us as a shield. Why? Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why favor surrounds us. It's not because we're so this or that. It's because we're faithful. Amen? Amen. Well, let me tell you something. The world will be jealous of that. They will despise you. Okay? Just understand. Now, we need to take from that too. When we see others with favor and blessings, let's be happy for them. Let's be excited that they're walking in the favor of God. Let's not look at them and say, well, I wish it rained on my property. Or I wish, you know, whatever. Guys, it'll come. You keep walking with God. You be happy for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You keep walking your walk he has for you. Right? Don't be looking at other people's stuff. Be looking at the Lord who supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? Because selfishness is an idol, and it produces that overflow of wickedness. That's straight from the Lord. Selfishness is an idol. We're going to be having a marriage class. 6 weeks. It's for everybody that's married. It's for everybody that's ever been married. It's for everybody that wants to be married. And it's especially for those who don't want to be married. So guess what? But one thing we'll be talking about is selfishness. Because when you worship yourself, you're in trouble, right? We worship the Lord our God, and he's the one who gives us that favor. Amen? And some of us need favor if you're going to be married to the wife that I'm married to. She's not here, I say that. No, she's doing good. Actually, I'm teasing, but I am favored because I'm married to her. Amen? Amen. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. Remember what I said? There's a spirit on him. But it wasn't the spirit of God, it was a tormenting spirit from God. And he began to rave in his house like a madman. Now David was playing the harp as he did each day. But Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Look, if I'm playing the half guitar and I get a spear thrown at me, I don't think I'm going back. Twice. Those kind of things escape me sometimes. I'm like, what was David thinking? You know what he was thinking? Obedience. He always did what God was telling him to do in this time. He did. He was walking with God. He understood the authority of the king. The authority told him to play. He played. And he dodged. Right? Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. He knew that. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men. And David faithfully led his troops into battle. Even though his king had tried to kill him, David still was faithful in the work appointed to him. David did not let the injustice distract him from what he was called to do. How many of us face injustice? All the time. I mean, and how many times when I'm driving home, this ain't fair. Well, no, it ain't fair. It ain't supposed to be fair. Doesn't matter. The enemy ain't going to fight fair. If you think he's going to, you're in trouble. It's not about fair. It's about, God, what are you calling me to do? See, my eyes aren't on the situation. Because if I'm weighing the situation in my own weights and measures, I'm putting myself above God, see? He sees things differently than I see them, right? My job is to say, Lord, how do I handle this situation? What do you want me to do? He said, David, you keep slaying the thousands and the 10,000s. Keep going. And David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. See that part? For the Lord was with him. That's a key. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Verse 15, when Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. Verse 17. One day Saul said to David, I'm ready to give you my older daughter Merab as your wife. Okay, remember that was the promise for slaying the giant, right? But first, you must prove yourself to be a real warrior. That's like your boss saying, you know, you've done all these great things, you're doing great things. But guess what? You got to do some more great things if you're going to get what I already promised you way back here. How many felt that way? I have done everything I was supposed to do that you asked me to do. You said this was reward, and now you want me to do this? This isn't fair. If we can learn anything from the life of King David, is things aren't going to be fair. But I can't be moved by that unfairness. See, my eyes can't be on the fact that I'm being treated poorly, right? My eyes have to continue to be on the Lord and say, Lord, you're training me through this unfairness. You know that whole being refined by fire? Unfairness, injustice, that's a little bit of fire. But we get refined through those things. We do. As we keep our eyes on him, he continues to refine us, and he's the one who keeps us, right? Again, it's a great lesson for us to learn. But first, you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battles. He even threw the Lord in there for good measure. For Saul thought, I'll send him out against the Philistines, and I'll let them kill him rather than doing it myself. Verse 18. That's what David says. Who am I, and what is my family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? David exclaimed, my father's family is nothing. David didn't think too highly of himself, even though he had been anointed king. Don't ever forget, as we read through these things, he knows he was anointed king. He was walking in some humility, people. And that gave him a ton of grace and power, I can promise you. So when the time came for Saul to give his daughter Merab in marriage to David, he gave her instead to Adriel, a man from Mehola. Guys, you'll be wronged in this world. It's how we respond in obedience to God that'll make all the difference. Verse 20. In the meantime, Saul's daughter Michal had fallen in love with David, and Saul was delighted when he heard about it. Here's another chance to see him killed by the Philistines, Saul said to himself. But to David, he said, today you have a second chance to become my son-in-law. Talk about being wronged and wronged and wronged. Then Saul told his men to say to David, the king really likes you, and so do we. Why don't you accept the king's offer and become his son-in-law? When Saul's men said these things to David, he replied, how can a poor man from a humble family afford the bride price for the daughter of a king? When Saul's men reported this back to the king, he told them, tell David that all I want for the bride price is 100 Philistine foreskins. That's all. No big deal. Vengeance on my enemies is all I really want. But what Saul had in mind was that David would be killed in the fight. The enemy is going to put stuff in front of you that seems insurmountable. Don't let these things come against you. Don't let what the enemy puts before you, because to me, that's a tall order. I got to whip all these guys, and then in a big way. You follow me? And yet it says here in a minute, David was delighted. He knew the Lord was with him. You see, so many times as we walk this Christian walk, there's things in front of us that look big. How am I going to do this? I don't think David asked himself that. I think he was always like, Lord, is this what we're doing? Yeah, if that's what we're doing, let's do it. We can learn from that. Because, you know, even I've been there too. You get hung up with the enormity of the task and say, Lord, you really want to do this? Yeah. Well, if he really wants to do it, it's a done deal. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Does that make sense? So David was delighted to accept the offer before the time limit expired. He and his men went out and killed 200 Philistines. Then David fulfilled the king's requirement by presenting all of them. He doubled the price. So Saul gave his daughter Michal to David to be his wife. And when Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him, Verse 29, Saul became even more afraid of him and remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. Jealousy is a big thing, guys. Every time the commanders of the Philistines attacked, David was more successful against them than all the rest of Saul's officers. So David's name became very famous. See, from here on out, Saul denounces David and tries to kill him to a point where David has to flee, okay, and take all his, well, he had 600 men with him, and they had to run away. It's a few more chapters. I'm not going to stop and read them to you. But the point was, is this king is sitting on the throne still. David is anointed king. David has won all these battles, done everything that was asked of him, killed the giant, did all these things, and now he's on the run in his own country. Saul has said over and over that the Lord's with David, and I'm afraid of him, but I still am trying to kill him. I mean, it's craziness. When people start following the enemy, they will act crazy. And that's what we're coming up against, is some crazy stuff, because it's the enemy we're coming up against, not people. Remember, always remember, we don't fight people, okay? Now, we deal with people, we interact with people the way God tells us to, not the way our compassion tells us to. Oh, that's a tough one. Not how I want to in my own mind, but how God tells me to. Some people, he said, you need to go spend some time with these people. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to. It doesn't matter what you want. You do what he'll tell you. Sometimes he said, you stay away from them. I'll deal with them. You stay away. You have nothing to do with them. That's a tough one too. But I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to reach out to everybody. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'll make a mess of things. What I've got to do is what God tells me to do, right? not what my compassion says. And that's what's got me in trouble. I should do that. I should. I can hear my voice. Will it God tell you to? Then I got to get quiet, like they said, and go talk to him. Say, Lord, what are you saying? Because I don't want to get in the way of what you're doing. Amen? But that's what happened. So David's on the run now, okay? Oh, we're doing good. Let's go to 1 Samuel 23. I'm going to read some more. So you understand where we're at. I skipped a little. You can read it. But he's on the run. One day news came to David that the Philistines were at Keilah stealing grain from the threshing floors. David asked the Lord. I love this. David asked the Lord. David asked the Lord. He asked the Lord, should I go attack them? Yes, go and save Keilah, the Lord told him. But David's men said, we're afraid. Even here in Judah, we certainly don't want to go to Keilah to fight the whole Philistine army. They were looking at the situation in front of them. And guys, what they were looking at was real. His men were not lying to him, right? So David asked the Lord again. And again the Lord replied, go down to Keilah, for I will help you conquer the Philistines. So David and his men went to Keilah. They slaughtered the Philistines and took all their livestock and rescued the people of Keilah. Now when Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, he brought the ephod with him. I won't explain it. But the ephod was what the priest had. It had stones in it. And this is kind of weird. But guys, they would ask, and that ephod helped tell them what the Lord is saying. I won't go into it. We'll study that later. But understand, his ways are higher than our ways. And there's things that I know a lot of times Christians will say, oh, that ain't of God. Really? I mean, guys, we always got to measure things by the Holy Spirit. Don't measure it by your mind, okay? Don't measure it by your mind. We'll just leave it there. Saul soon learned that David was at Keilah. Good, he said. We've got him now. God is... Saul keeps trying to say God's with him when he knows doggone well God ain't with him. God has handed him over to me, for he has trapped himself in a walled town. So Saul mobilized his entire army to march to Keilah and besiege David and his men. But David learned of Saul's plan and told Abiathar, the priest, to bring the ephod and ask the Lord what he should do. Then David prayed, O Lord God of Israel, I have heard that Saul is planning to come and destroy Keilah because I'm here. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me to him? And will Saul actually come as I have heard? O Lord God of Israel, tell me. And the Lord said, he'll come. Again, David asked, will these leaders of Keilah betray me and my men to Saul? And the Lord replied, yes, they'll betray you. He just come and save these folks, and they just turned on him. So many times when you're doing what the Lord says, people are going to turn on you. And it's usually your own people. Surprise, guys. When you're walking with the Lord, the enemy's going to use people against you. They will. Don't get mad at the people. Well, that's tough, isn't it? Jake, they just did me wrong. I'm kind of mad at them. Don't be mad at them. Pray for them, ask the Lord what to do. Right? Yes. Amen? Another little lesson there. All right. Verse 13. So David and his men, about 600 of them now, left Keilah and began roaming the countryside. Word soon reached Saul that David had escaped, so he didn't even go to Keilah after all. And David now stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness in the hill country of Ziph. Saul hunted him day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. It wasn't David's skill that kept him from harm, it was the Lord. One day near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on his way to Ziph to search for and kill him. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Where was Jonathan? Jonathan was with Saul, his dad. What did Jonathan do? He went and found David and said, listen, you stay strong in the Lord. That's odd to me. Jonathan is an interesting character. But I really believe Jonathan was serving the Lord too. I know he was. He kept his heart right. Another lesson we can learn. Don't be afraid, Jonathan reassured him. My father will never find you. You're going to be the king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. Even his father knew. Having friends that encourage you in your path with the Lord is vital. Having a family of God encouraging you makes all the difference. We can't do any of this alone, people. Can't do this alone. Let's go to chapter 24. I could read this whole thing to y'all. There's so many lessons through there, but let's move through this a little more. Verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 1. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfold, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. Verse 4. Now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today, the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robes. Here's another lesson. There will be well-meaning people telling you what they believe God is saying to you. David's men were well-meaning. They really were. They were running for their lives with him. They were putting their lives on the line. They cared about David, right? They were sincere when they were telling him, listen, you need to do away with Saul now. We got our chance. God's saying this. Let's go. Right? Guys, in your life, there's going to be people telling you, this is what you should do. This is what God's telling you to do. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. Choose your counsel well. And always go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Because again, I endeavor when people come to me. Because oftentimes they say, what do I do? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking all kinds of things. Leave, run, you know, sell, you know, whatever. I'm thinking all these thoughts, right? Because I'm looking at the situation. But I don't ever tell anybody what to do. You know why? Because I don't know what to do. Only God knows. See, I just encourage everyone. See, God doesn't have to use me to tell somebody. Now, if God shares something with me, I'll say, listen, this is what I feel the Lord's saying to me. You go pray about it. You make sure that you're in agreement. Because I know I can be wrong. I know I can mishear what God's telling me. But you know how the best way I have found to stay away from mishearing God? Making sure my heart's right. Making sure I'm staying in my routine. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. Making sure I recognize when the flesh rises up. Because it rises up. And I crucify it quick. Because I guarantee you, if David was thinking about all the stuff Saul had done to him, that flesh would be rising up and say, I'm going to get this sucker right now. I got him. But see, we can't go by what the flesh is saying. It's always by what the Spirit of God's saying. Look what it says. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. In the Hebrew, it says his heart was smote. It was hurt because he had cut the hem of his robe. That's all he did. He didn't cut off his ear or, you know, stab him a little bit. He just took a little bit of his robe. So is that Saul didn't even notice, by the way. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. He still considered Saul his king, even though he was anointed king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. You see, God, guys, especially in this day and age, honoring authority that's absolutely wrong, it's a hard attitude, guys. And it's not an easy one, especially in our days and times. As Christians walking in this earth today, in this nation, it's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not. I get as mad as anybody when I see some things going on. But I'm like, Lord, what's my heart attitude in this situation? What's your heart attitude? What are we supposed to do? Guys, it always comes down to that. And as we move further along in these end times, it's going to become more important that we're led by His Spirit at every turn, and we have His peace to tell us how we honor what He's saying and yet walk out in obedience what we're called to walk out, advancing His kingdom. Amen? Okay. We'll talk more about that later. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, my lord the king! And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It's a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you've been hunting for me to kill me. Verse 12, may the Lord judge between us. Ooh. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you're trying to do to me, but I'll never harm you. As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds, so you can be sure I'll never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? He didn't see himself as anything, even though he was anointed king, and he knew it. May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate. He will rescue me from your power. Knowing that the obedience of the Lord is what delivers us will carry you through your problem. See, we always look for escape. When we're in pain, we look for escape. Let's be honest. You know, how do I get out of this mess? How do I get out of this mess that I put myself in? I've been there. But understand, guys, it's always the Lord that delivers us. And he may do things in a way that we don't necessarily understand. See, I'm perplexed at some of this sometimes. I'm like, Lord, really? Yeah, really, Monty. There's a way that I want things done that honors me and that honors my word. And your natural mind isn't always going to understand it. But how much do you love me? Do you love me enough to crucify your flesh and do what I'm telling you to do? That's where great strength lies, is being obedient even when your flesh is rising up high. That's a lesson to learn. When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, is that really you, my son David? And he began to cry. And he said to David, you're a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you've been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you've shown me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants. And David said, no, I'm killing them all. No, that's not what David said. No. So David promised this to Saul with an oath, and Saul went home. But David and his men went back to their stronghold. Okay. They've been at odds, right? Trying to kill him. And the king just basically, he professed, I've wronged you. You haven't done anything wrong to me. I know I'm not going to be king, and I know you are. Please don't kill my family when this happens. What do you think happens next? It gives you a hint right there. Did David run over to Saul and say, okay, let's all go back. I'm king now. You go ahead and go aside. It's all good. That's not what happened. David went with his men to his stronghold. Why? Because Saul didn't change. He still tried to kill David after this. We're going to go on next week and kind of get moving. How many times was David wronged? Over and over and over and over. How many people in here have felt wronged over and 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 over? Yes, I know. You think God just is turning a blind eye to that? No. No. Remembering who we are. See, I don't think it ever left David that he was supposed to be king. It didn't. But I also know that God never left him. And so I know he had inner struggles with himself, because he was dealing with what his men was telling him. He was dealing with the situation in front of him. If we read on, he even flees to the Philistines. He even goes to his enemy and camps out for a year and a half, because he's tired of doing this with Saul, right? Running in his own land. The key to that, guys, is keep your eyes on him. Know that he's the one that delivers us. How many times does it say the Lord was with him? The Lord delivered him. The Lord took him through, right? Guys, you can be assured of that today. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance you're fighting, you can be assured that the Lord will deliver you. I don't care how bad it looks in the natural. It probably doesn't look as bad as this. Let's just be honest, right? And yet, when you're saved and the Holy Spirit resides inside of you, not only is the Spirit of God with you, he is in you. Do you think God's going to forget to deliver you? You think he's forgotten about you? Just like David in the field, tending the sheep, anointed king, God didn't forget David. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten the calling he has for you. He hasn't forgotten the fact that he has a plan for you to deliver you from the pain you're suffering, but also take you into a position where he can use you to advance his kingdom. And that's a truth for each and every one of you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. I don't care the mistakes you've made.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace.